Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 29 October, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we are in verse 16, the personal commendation of pastor teacher Titus by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 8, in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16, the personal commendation of pastor teacher Titus. Now thanks be to God, or it could be translated, now grace belongs to God, the one who gives the same earnestness, that is, the same intensity of impersonal love for all, on behalf of you Corinthians, in the heart of Titus. Titus is a winter believer, one of the students in Paul's traveling seminary, and he and Timothy probably make up the two top students, and they became pastor teachers and received the, well, that's why we call it the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. But this verse ended the same intensity of impersonal love on behalf of you, Corinthians, in the heart of Titus. Now the key there is in the heart of Titus. And that's the most important thing. The most important thing is your heart, not the pump, the heart up here. In the Greek, the word is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, cardia. It almost is never, ever used for the pump. Maybe one passage or two in the entire Bible talks about the pump. But God doesn't look at your pump. God examines your heart, the stage four of grace perspicacity, the target of the Word of God. Now, God knew all about your heart before you were ever here in eternity past. He knew all about you and all about your thinking. He knew when you would say, I'm not interested in Bible doctrine. I'm not going to go to Upland Bible Church tonight. Hell with it. going to stay home. He knows when you are make the Word of God the number one priority in your life. He knew in eternity past when you, if you have maximum amount of the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, or if you have nothing. Now people look at the outside. Man looks at the outside, looks at what you look like. Now, don't, by the way, Halloween is coming up Friday. How do you like my mask? Pretty good, huh? I keep it 24/7, 365 days a year. But God doesn't look at the outside. God looks in here at your heart. That's what He is examining with you and every single believer. Every believer. He's examining what is going on in your heart. How much Bible doctrine do you have in your heart? And from the outside, why, you'll, like Samuel. The Lord told Samuel, I have rejected Saul. There's nothing in his heart except reversionism. The only thing in King Saul's heart is reversionism. There's no Bible doctrine in his heart. And the Lord says, I've rejected him. And Saul died the sin unto death. He was a believer who died the sin unto death. He had no doctrine in his heart. So the Lord told Samuel, I've rejected him. He's not going to be king anymore. There's going to be a new king. Go to the family of Jesse. And there's a son of Jesse who will be the next king. Why? Why? And that was David. Why? Because David, in his heart, had maximum Bible doctrine in his heart. That's what the Lord looked at. And when Samuel got there, who's the first one he saw? Well, a military son of Jesse. Eliab, in the military. Tall, dark, handsome. And Samuel goes, oh yeah, this is the one the Lord has picked. Samuel's looking at the outside. God doesn't look at the outside. Doesn't make any difference whether you're in the military or not. Doesn't make any difference whether you can talk or not. Doesn't make any difference what you look like on the outside. God is only concerned about one thing. What is in your heart? Do you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart? The only son of Jesse that had maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart was David. And David was a shepherd. He was out with the sheep. Yes. Cheers. Yeah. And that's what the Lord looks at. The Lord knows up what's in every single one of your heart. He knows the thinking of each one of you. You're thinking about Bible doctrine. You're thinking about assembling at Upland Bible Church consistently and faithfully. You're thinking about the teaching of the Word of God from this pulpit. He knows all about your thinking in that regard. But I'll tell you right now, there is nothing more important you will ever do in this life than what we do right here five times a week. Nothing more important than what we do here five times a week. And I don't know of any other pastor that even teaches five times a week. When I first came here, I didn't either. When I first came here, I taught three times. I think I started out with three times a week. And then as we got down the road, I added four times, and then five times. And I don't know of any pastor anywhere in this nation that teaches five times a week. Why do I teach five times a week? So you can get maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, up here. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, the top mucky mucks at Dallas Seminary, they knew everyone there that listened to Colonel R.B. Thame. And they had even names for us. They weren't flattering. And I got called in and sat down. And the fellow sitting there goes, "Now, you know, it's very important not to just have a head belief, but have a heart belief." He grabbed his heart, his pump. I didn't correct him. I didn't laugh at him. I knew to him that was a big thing. Not a head belief, but a heart belief. Now you see, if I had called somebody, it's important not to have a head belief, but a heart belief. You see, I'd have done that. Well, the Bible is very, very clear. 99% of the time when it says heart, it's talking about the target for the Word of God. There is a target for God's Word. That target is right up here, your heart. In the Greek, it's cardia. In the Hebrew, it's lev. But 99% of the time when heart is used in the Bible, it's talking about the target for the Word of God. And that's the only thing God is concerned about. How much Bible doctrine do you have in your heart? Now it says He examined your heart. Well, he in his omniscience knew all about your heart in eternity past before you were ever here. But to put it down so that you understand, that omniscience of God in effect is examining your heart every single day. How much of the Word of God do you have in your heart? Now, I'm talking about the heart, not the mind, not the noose. That's a totally different part. That's the third stage of grace perspicacity, the noose. And that's the staging area, the noose. You have the Word of God that's been taught by the... Well, might as well just quit farting around here. There. Grace perspicacity. And it's four stages. And the first stage was the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is the key. God gives a few men, I'm sorry, ladies, actually, it's a blessing. You ought to say thank you very much that I don't have the gift of pastor-teacher. If you knew all of the things that a pastor faces from arrogant members of the congregation, you would never want to ever, ever have the gift of pastor-teacher. But a few males have the gift, and then they prepare for the ministry. And when they're prepared, that they are the under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. The pastor-teacher is the under-shepherd. And he has a job. His job is to study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. And that's why... We have it. I do it 5 times a week. I don't give a damn how many times anybody else does it. They might do it 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. I don't give a damn. I teach 5 times a week because it's more important than the air that you breathe. The teaching of the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. That's why I teach 5 times a week. And that's why I'm in different books. Not one book all the way. That's the easy way to do it. I even had pastors tell me, Dick, why are you in all these different books? Just get one book. It's a lot easier to do it that way. I said, oh, well, I'm not trying to do something because it's easy. I want to get the whole realm of Bible doctrine, Old Testament, New Testament, different books, so that the believers can get the whole realm of doctrine and not get on a hobby horse and ride it into the ground. So I'm in different books. And they always, oh, that's the hard way to do it. Well, I'm not in the ministry to do it the easy way. I'm here to give you the whole realm of doctrine. And that's why we're in Zechariah on Tuesday, 2 Corinthians on Wednesday, 3 John on Thursday, Romans on Sunday, so you can get the whole realm of doctrine, not just get one book and ride a hobby horse into the ground. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to give you all the whole realm of Bible doctrine. And so the gift of pastor-teacher teaches the Word of God eisegetically. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. Eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. And as he does that, he teaches the Logos, the Word of God. That's the first stage. You have to start with that. You're not going to learn anything apart from a pastor-teacher teaching you Bible doctrine. That's stage one. Then stage two, God the Holy Spirit takes that Logos and teaches your human spirit. And then it becomes pneumatikos, spiritual phenomena. Spiritual phenomena in your heart. That's stage two. Then it goes down the pipeline to the nous. The nous, that's the mind. That's stage three. That is when you have gnosis doctrine. Now, that gnosis doctrine is knowledge, but the key at this point is you are a hearer of the Word. That's all you are. At this point, you're just a hearer of the Word. So you assemble in Upland Bible Church and listen to Pastor Olson up here beat his gums, and you say, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're teaching. It's in your noose. It's in your noose, this gnosis doctrine. But all you are is a hearer of the Word. You're not a doer of the Word because you haven't believed it. So you say, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're teaching. Pastor Olson, I think you're full of poop. I don't believe a thing that you're teaching on that. So I reject it. Well, that's fine. I'm not here to make anybody do anything. Believe me, I can't make anybody do anything. You're here and you're free to come. You're free not to come. You're free to believe the Word of God that's taught. You're free to reject the Word of God. But when it goes through stage one, the pastor teaching the Logos, stage two, the Holy Spirit teaches your human spirit, pneumatikos, spiritual phenomena. Now it goes down into the nous. Now it's gnosis, knowledge doctrine. But you're only a hearer. All you are is a hearer only. In fact, James says that very clearly. James 1, 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. I know that's a bad thing. Looking in your natural face in the mirror. He's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and then once he has looked at himself, he's gone away, and he immediately has forgotten what kind of a person he looked like. That's where you are right here. You're just a hearer of the Word. Then you walk out and you don't know even what you look like. It doesn't do you any good. This doesn't mean a damn thing. You must believe it. Believe it. Because the target for the Word of God is the heart, cardia. That's the target. Now, have you ever heard the passage, Thy Word have I hid in my heart? In my heart. Not in my noose. It doesn't say Thy word have I hid in my noose, that I might not sin against thee. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If it doesn't get to the heart, and the only way you can get to the heart is you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, no spiritual momentum, no spiritual growth at all. It's the only way you get spiritual momentum, spiritual growth, is to believe it. When you believe it, God the Holy Spirit takes that doctrine and brings it over and puts it into the cardia, the heart. Now, this is gnosis doctrine. Now, this is epinosis doctrine. This is wisdom. Sophia in the Greek, chokma in the Hebrew, wisdom. Now that the Bible doctrine is believed and is in your heart, now by the filling of the Spirit, you can apply that doctrine skillfully and accurately to your life in any situation or circumstance of your life by the filling of the Spirit. The target is here. That's the target. Not here. That's not the target. That's stage three of grace perspicacity. But the target is to get to stage four, the cardia, the heart. See, I wasn't even going to. That's point two, and we've only studied point one. I got so excited, I got ahead there. So the heart refers to the stage four of grace perspicacity. The mentality of the soul is divided into two parts, the left lobe called the nous, the mind, the right lobe called the cardia, the heart. The right lobe or heart is the dominant lobe designed by God to dominate the entire soul. Whenever you are logical, analytical, or categorical in your thinking, you are using your heart. The Lord's evaluation of you is what you think. What you think in your heart. How much Bible doctrine do you have in your heart? And that is the greatest illustration of that is David, 1 Samuel 16, 1 through verse 13. And the Lord sent Samuel to anoint the next king. He had rejected Saul because there was no doctrine in his heart. He's a reversionist, and he died the sin unto death. He's a believer, he's in heaven, but he died the sin unto death. There was no Bible doctrine in his heart. So the Lord rejected Saul. And then Samuel went through the sons, and he thought he saw the next king, and the Lord said, no, I have none of those, because why? Why did he reject all the other sons? No Bible doctrine in their heart. There was only one son of Jesse that had maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, and he was the youngest, and that was David. And David became the greatest king in Israel's history, and a winner believer, and the author of most of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Why? Because when the Lord looked at David's heart, there was maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. That's what the Lord looks at. The Lord doesn't look at the outside of a person. God looks at your heart. Now, I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. But God looks at the heart. Why? To see how much of the Word of God is in the heart. So the Lord looks in your heart and sees how much doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness. Since the heart is designed to dominate the soul, all other parts must be subordinated to it, especially your emotions. And the justice of God always bases any function of justice on His knowledge of the situation And therefore, He constantly searches your heart. Jeremiah 17:10, I, Jehovah, search the heart. What is He searching for? The Word of God, Bible doctrine, metabolized doctrine. And I test the emotions. Why is He testing the emotions? To see if your emotions are subordinate to Bible doctrine in your heart. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. Yet, O Lord of the armies, You who have tested the righteous and who sees the emotions and the heart. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, grace righteousness. David is a grace righteous, spiritually mature believer. Because I have trusted in the Lord and I do not slide into reversionism. Examine me, O Lord, and test my emotions and my heart. So one of the major considerations in the function of the justice of God is the relationship between the heart and the emotions. That was all point one. Point two is the target of the Word of God, and the target of the Word of God is the heart. Stage four of grace perspicacity, and there you go. There you have it. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden Your word in my heart, that I might not sin against You. It doesn't say, I have hidden Your word in my nous, my mind. He says, I've hidden Your word in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. That's the target. The cardia, the lave, that's the target in grace perspicacity, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. So, point three. Point three, the essence of the biblical heart. The essence of the biblical heart. First of all, there is the frame of reference. The frame of reference. And the frame of reference, this is the entrance of the heart. It has intake and output valves so that information can come in, be processed, and be processed out to other parts of the heart and the soul. Proverbs 4, verse 4 says, Then He taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my word, my doctrine. Keep my commandments in your heart and live. So that's the first place it goes. It goes into your frame of reference. That's the entrance of the heart, the frame of reference. Let your heart hold fast my doctrine, my words in the frame of reference. Keep my commandments and live. Secondly is the memory center. You have a memory center. And this recalls, like a computer, information that you need. Psalm 119, verse 109 says, Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your doctrine. I will not forget your doctrine. It's in the memory center of the heart. It's also described beautifully in a passage that, well, it's one of my favorite hymns. Turn over to Lamentations. Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verse 21, I will remember them, and my soul, I will remember them, and my soul is humbled within me. Yet this I call to mind, the memory center of the heart. Yet this I call to mind from the memory center of the heart, and therefore I have confidence because the Lord's great mercies never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I have confidence in Him. So there we have. Yet this I call to mind from the memory center of the heart. Lamentations 3, 21 to 24. So you have the frame of reference. You have the memory center. And then third, vocabulary and categorical storage. Vocabulary and categorical storage. This is the place where thinking develops technical concepts and new ideas. Proverbs 2, verse 2. Turning your ear to wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is doctrine in the heart. And here it's categorical doctrine in your vocabulary and categorical storage. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And then verse 10 of Proverbs 2. For wisdom, metabolized doctrine in the heart, and here, wisdom, categorical doctrine and the categorical storage and vocabulary. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. In Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the wise acquires knowledge, acquires categorical doctrine in the vocabulary and categorical storage area. The heart of the wise, the believer who has believed doctrine and entered the heart, acquires knowledge, vocabulary and categorical doctrine storage there, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So we have frame of reference, memory center, vocabulary and categorical storage, and then fourth, we have a conscience. Ooh, a conscience. We all have a conscience. And this, in the Greek, is called synaesthesis. Looks like that in the Greek, S-U-N-E-I-D, long E-S-I-S, synaesthesis. And the synaesthesis is the norms and standard compartment in your heart that you can know when something is right and something is wrong. Conscience is the synaesthesis, the norms and standards in your heart so that you can know what is right and what is wrong. And this, there's so many passages in the Word of God that talk about the conscience, and we all have a conscience. Let's turn over to see a few passages. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences, see, the conscience is in the heart. Their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing because the conscience says that's wrong, and now even defending them because the conscience says that's right. So we have this conscience in our heart with norms and standards that says this is wrong and this is right, based on metabolized doctrine in your heart. And then over in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. I'm not lying. Paul says, I have the Word of God in my heart and made norms and standards. This is right. I'm not lying. I know lying is wrong, and I'm not lying to you. I'm teaching you the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. You obey the law. And your conscience tells you from Bible doctrine, you obey the law. When you're disobedient, your conscience says, that's wrong. And then over in 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. verse 7. And this is about eating food that had been offered to idols. Now, I don't imagine you've been eating too much food offered to idols, but at this time, some of them were doing it in Corinth. Of course, they did everything in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, teaching truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul again saying, I have taught you Corinthians the absolute truth of the Word of God. And for some time, they totally rejected what Paul was teaching. They thought Paul was totally wrong and they were right. And of course, they set the world record for categories of reversionism, and this was a part of their problem. 2 Corinthians 4, 2. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. I hope, Paul says, you realize that we are teaching the truth of God's Word. And then over in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, One of the most important phrases in the scriptures, it speaks of the salvation work of Christ on the cross. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. He was sinless perfection. He hadn't committed even one sin. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the conscience, frame of reference, memory center, vocabulary, and categorical storage, the conscience, and the fifth part of the heart is the launching pad. The launching pad, or the wisdom department. The wisdom department. And this is where you convert thought into action. Wisdom is the application of metabolized doctrine to the situations and circumstances of your life accurately, to every situation in your life. The wisdom department, or you could call it the launching pad, the wisdom department is an entrance hall connected with your memory center. This is the application area. The launching pad takes recall of Bible doctrine from the memory center and applies it skillfully and accurately to your life, to your experience, under the function of your very own royal priesthood. This wisdom department or launching pad is where thought is converted into action. This is where you become a doer of the word. And many passages on the wisdom department. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Current positional truth as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God. And that's the wisdom department, from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That's maximum metabolized doctrine in the wisdom department. And all of these things are part of the spiritual life, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, concentrate on these doctrines. Concentrate on these doctrines. That's the compartments of the heart. Point four, there's a lot of bad things that go on in your thinking, in your heart. So point four are the negative functions of the heart. And hopefully none of these are true for any of you here. Negative functions of the heart. First of all, the heart can reject the teaching of the Word of God. The heart can reject the teaching of the Word of God. You have a volition. You have a free will. You're free to believe it. You're free to reject. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Now you notice, I did not invite any of you to come to class tonight. I didn't invite any of you to come. You're free to come. I have never invited anybody to come to Upland Bible Church. Now, I have invited several people to leave and never come back. But I have never invited anybody to come. You have a volition. You are free to come. You're free to assemble and take in the Word of God, and you're free not to. And you have your own volition. My job is not to make you do anything. I don't make anybody come here. Now, if you invade the privacy of other believers here, I will throw you out of the church and tell you never come back. But I have never invited anyone to come. Now, I have been here for about 500 years, and I've given the gospel all over the city of Las Vegas and all over the state of Nevada. I can't tell you how many people said, "Can I have a gospel book?" Yes. I'm going to come to church. If I had a nickel for everyone who came after they said that, I'd be a millionaire. I'm going to come to your church. So, you know, it's happened so many times, it goes in one ear, I smile and go, "Well, okay, well, fine," you know. But 99.9% never come. But you have a free will. My job, I don't invite anybody to come here. You come on your own free will. If you want the teaching of the grace and truth of the Word of God, you're in the right place. And if you don't want the teaching of the grace and absolute truth of the Word of God, then don't come. If you're looking for a friendly church, there's no such thing. You can keep looking, though. Proverbs 5, verse 12. You will say, "How I hated discipline. How I hated the instruction, the teaching of the Word of God. How my heart," see, where did that come from? The heart. "How my heart spurned correction, reproof, being chewed out by the pastor. Ooh. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. So the heart is where you reject the teaching of the Word of God. The heart negative to Bible doctrine refuses to concentrate. When you don't like what you hear, then you're unteachable and a candidate for reversionism. Secondly, the heart is the source of discord, troublemaking, which leads to strife, judging, slandering, maligning, and conspiracy. The heart is the source of discord and troublemaking, which leads to strife and discord, slander, maligning, judging, and conspiracy. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 12. Now, here we start out. Look at the first word. A scoundrel. Are you a scoundrel? You say, what's a scoundrel? Well, I thought you'd never ask. A troublemaker. That's a scoundrel. A scoundrel, the troublemaker and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth. What's a corrupt mouth? Does that mean your teeth have fallen out? No. This is sins of the tongue. So the scoundrel is the troublemaker who goes about with sins of the tongue, corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. Notice all this is taking place in the heart. In his heart. He always stirs up dissension. He always causes trouble. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. The sin unto death. A lot of believers have gone that route. Verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, that's arrogance. That represents the category of mental attitude sins. A lying tongue, that represents the category of sins of the tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, that represents overt sin, murder. A heart that devises wicked schemes, conspiracy, plotting. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up strife and dissension among his brothers. That's gossip, maligning, slandering, judging. And where does it come from? His heart. Verse 14. So the heart is the source of discord and troublemaking, which leads to strife and conspiracy. Proverbs 6, 12 to 19. 3. The woman uses heart thinking to entice the male into fornication, adultery, but without love. The heart of the prostitute is very cunning. Now, before you go any further, it's hard, you say, I'm not a virgin. I said, well, there aren't very many virgins I'll be around today, but that's not the issue, whether you're a virgin or not a virgin. In fact, one of the greatest women believers of all time was Rahab the prostitute. She was a fantastic gal. She was a prostitute. And she's recorded in the scriptures as helping the Jewish people. So when I look at these passages, I want you to keep your mind on this. The heart of the prostitute is cunning. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, and with crafty intent. Proverbs 7:10. Well, that actually, you don't see the word heart there. If you look, if you have the NASV, they have the word heart. So I got to get to Proverbs 7:10. Now listen to the NASV. And behold, a woman comes to meet him dressed as a prostitute and cunning of heart. There's the Hebrew word lev. Cunning of heart. And then over in Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 26. And I discovered more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. So the heart of the prostitute is cunning. Now, one thing that will destroy wisdom, spiritual IQ, and the ability to look at life from the divine viewpoint is the dumb, arrogant male succumbing to the flattery of a woman, using him for her own sinful pleasure. But we have a lot of dumb, arrogant males that fall into that trap. 4. The heart is the environment for all kinds of mental attitude sins. The heart is the environment for all categories of mental attitude sins. 2 Samuel 6:16. And this is David's wife Michelle. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, of course, he brought it in naked and dancing, and his wife was looking out the window and going, "What are he doing?" As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him, she hated him in her heart. So heart, the heart is where you have hate. Proverbs 14:10. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Bitterness is in the heart. Hate's in the heart. Bitterness in the heart. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 4. Arrogance is in the heart. Proverbs 21, 4. Haughty eyes and an arrogant heart. The lamp of the wicked are sin. Now, once you have arrogance in your heart, this becomes your lamp. That becomes your lamp for you and for your life. And it sets aside the Word of God. It sets aside all Bible doctrine. Turn over to Obadiah. We don't go to Obadiah very often. You probably have a hard time finding it. Obadiah. Obadiah verse 3. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle, and make your nest among the stars. From there, I, the Lord, will bring you down, declares the Lord. So we have hate, bitterness, arrogance. Worry is in the heart. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 23. All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his heart does not rest because of worry. And then deceitfulness is in the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, and we'll end with this evening. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful. So the heart is the environment for mental attitude sins. Hate, bitterness, arrogance, worry, deceitfulness, all found in the heart. All right. Well, we've got a ways to go on the doctrine of the heart. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.